Wow, so we've had like a feast already, haven't we? Maybe we could go back to the last, not to play it, but that last song, Leaning on Jesus, because that kind of connects with what I'm going to talk about. So that place of being so close to him. I mean, you can't really know someone, can you, until you get that close. So what I wanted to talk about was truly knowing God. That was my title. And it's interesting when you, others may know, when you prepare a message, God sort of gives you a message in the preparation, like an experience or something that's like, oh, okay, I get the point. And I was preparing, well, I wasn't preparing, I had it on my to-do list, and days were going by, and I was thinking, oh my gosh, time's going and I haven't done any preparation. And then you get to the point where it becomes really uncomfortable and thinking, I'm getting out of my comfort zone now because I really haven't got a lot of time left. But that was the point when I went to God and just said, help. And I just had a moment with God of a breakthrough because it was just like, that's where I needed to be. Because it can be like anything we do, like a to-do list, a job to tick, a task to do. But unless we've got back to that place of help, I can't do it on my own. I don't know. It's another level of knowing God, isn't it? So I felt like God showed me something and gave me peace and grace. Like, this is where I want you to be. Depending on me. And the whole thing about knowing God is we can know the knowledge, we can know the verses, but do we really know God in our lives, in our experience? So I guess I'm talking about going that little bit deeper to know God, to truly know God. And I was just thinking of what Akin shared last week about the virgins and the oil. So some of them had the oil and some of them didn't. And for me, that oil could represent a lot of things, I guess, but I think it could represent the Holy Spirit. But I think it's something about that intimate relationship with God. And it's something you can't get through someone else, isn't it? You can't say, oh, I know so-and-so who knows God. I know so-and-so had an experience. It's not enough, is it? It's just like we need that for ourselves. So, and there's different things, aren't there, that push us into those times of being close to God. I mean, we've heard about some extreme situations where you really need God. And I think that's often the way, isn't it? Sometimes, like my to-do list, it's the point when you're like, ah! You have to press into God in that deeper way. But it's a bit sad that it has to sometimes be like that. But I think God's just calling us, isn't he, to really know him, not just the theory, but really know him. And then when, I don't know if all of you read the text that Akin sent around, which really impacted me. I'll just read it out. I think it was from Charles Stanley, Dr. Charles Stanley. It's about falling in love with Jesus. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches because you have been my help. I don't know what the reference is for this. Psalm 63, 6-7. Because you have been my help, therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. When we choose to spend time with God, we are rewarded with the joy that comes from being in his presence. When we fall in love with someone, we spend time with him or her, willingly tend to the relationship. But when it comes to a relationship with Jesus, believers often rush through Bible reading and prayer, keeping faith alive by habit rather than worship. Lasting intimacy with God, however, comes by means of purpose and determination. I'll just skip to the last. Jesus brings joy to a believer's life but we must give him the time to do so and not simply our leftover minutes. God gives us his best and we should put forth no less in return. Oh, that went to my... And after reading that as well, I had a bit of a moment of grief. Because you think, wow, you know, time with God is amazing, isn't it? But when life's a rush, it's hard to have those times of quality, isn't it? Maybe I'm the only one, but... So I was grieving a bit and thinking, you know, I want more of this. I want more of it. I know Tamsin's very good at getting time with God. Learn from you.
He's the one who moves me into his presence. It's not me saying, well, I need to set aside this time. He just moves me, you know, and I come. That's how it works with me. There's no striving or trying.
No obligation.
No, it's just a thing. He makes me up, and it's been like this for so long now, that it doesn't seem like it's a discipline. It's all him. You just hear the one you love calling you. And you just want to be with him. And it's like that in the middle of the night. And the time just goes, and you're just with him. That's how it works with me. It's probably very different for other people. But, yeah, it's all him, not me.
Yeah, better that way. Wow. So what works for... I like a bit of participation. What works for you? What brings you close to God? Is it like Tamsin? Is it like me in desperation? What works for you? Is that, you know, what works for you? All of that conversation. Yeah. Thank you. Conversation and a relationship, isn't it, through the day. So I think we're seeing it's more than just the intellectual knowledge, isn't it? It's an experiential relationship through the day. So in the same way that we like to be known, don't we? I think God wants to be known on many different levels, and we may have known him so far, but there's always more, isn't there, to know of God. And sometimes we can think that we know people, can't we? But do we know people? Do we know God? Okay. There's always more. Okay. So I was just going to do a little bit of a review, the Sermon on the Mount, because I think I'll read the end part. I don't know if we've come to the end of it, or if we've covered everything in the Sermon on the Mount. I know we're transitioning to a new subject. Let me just find it. So I was just drawn to the end of it, which I think does link to what I've been saying. So I'll just read from 7 verse 13. So enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. But sort of thinking it through, I think Jesus is talking about in partly the whole of the Sermon on the Mount. You know, there's so much in it, isn't there, of how we live our lives, of how to relate to people. There's so much, some of it's quite challenging, a lot of it is challenging, especially the bit about loving your enemy and not judging each other. You know, there's some real meaty stuff. And I just feel from thinking about it that God is saying he wants us to really know his teaching and live it. You know, he's saying, don't just know me, but put it into practice. Don't just know of my teaching, put it into practice. Otherwise, our foundations are not very strong, are they? So, again, it's just knowing God on an experiential level, knowing his word and actually living it out. I was just going to ask you, anyone have a standout moment from the Sermon on the Mount, something that really has impacted you from all the teaching we've had, challenged you, if you can remember back? I know Julie's mentioned about Hillary's word on mercy. That was a big impact.
And he said that he opened the scriptures, expounding them from the beginning of all the prophets, all the scriptures referring to himself in detail. He opened them up to them and explained everything in detail. But none of those things did it. What did it was communion. He said it was in a rhythm of a communion, their eyes were opened and they knew him. And so I was like, oh, you know, they were walking with the Lord, they were talking with the Lord.
Wow. We need God's help to help us know him, don't we? Yeah. We can't see it with our natural eyes. Is there any other standout moments for anyone through the teaching we've had recently might have impacted you to know God and on a deeper level? Sorry, I'm testing you now. Okay. That's fine. Anyway, these teachings and things, you know, God's giving us a gift. He's given us so many gifts, hasn't he? But I was just thinking about, you know, when you get a gift at Christmas, say something like a camera, and you start using it and you think it's great, but then a few months, years down the line, you maybe see a button that you didn't know what it did, or you read the manual and you thought, oh my gosh, there's so much more. So you've been using it all that time on a basic standard setting. So it's just, you know, there's so much more, isn't there, that we need to know, and it's really a lifetime of discovery, isn't it? But we're always being drawn deeper and closer. As we choose to go that way with God, we choose to engage with him. Okay. So the last, well, I was going to tell you a story about myself. As an example, I feel like God's hammering away this message of knowing him on a deeper level, but also knowing each other on a deeper level, because, you know, we know each other to a certain level, don't we? And there's always more to know. And I trained as an occupational therapist. How many of you know what an occupational therapist is? Mark does. Maybe.
Is that when you, if
someone's been injured or sick, you get them working again, physically,
and maybe also supply any aids that they might need?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Probably. I mean, to be honest, my mum was a nurse, and I was looking for which profession to train, and she said about OT, occupational. I thought, I've never heard of it. I have no clue what it is. A lot of people may feel the same. And actually it took me most of the training to understand what it really was. But it's about using activity in a meaningful way to help people be rehabilitated. It's looking at the activities that are valuable to them and essential to them in their lives. But it can be in a mental health setting or a general hospital. But I'm just, over the years, I have, you know, wondered sometimes, what am I doing with my job? And then I ended up working in a stroke unit, which was a sort of a pinnacle in my career, because there's a lot of competition goes on between various professionals, maybe physios or OTs, other people, you know, we're better at this than you, we can get more results than you can. There's a little bit of competitive that goes on with helping people to improve. But there was some research that has come out that shows that the most effective way to help people who've had a stroke is by giving them meaningful activities. So it was so exciting because the science was backing up my little profession that sometimes I don't know what it is or what. And it's actually saying that if you give someone a meaningful activity, they are going to progress more. So something relevant to their life. And an example of this was a lady, sorry, this isn't very biblical, but I just feel God's hammering away at knowing on a deeper level. So I'm giving you an example. This lady was a horse rider, and she'd managed to get the use of her leg back. She'd lost the use of her arm and leg, and her arm just wasn't improving. Somebody had an idea to get one of the horse brushes that she would have used. She's got horses to comb their hair, brush their hair. And this is obviously very meaningful for her, and it smelt of the horses, and it was something that meant a lot to her. And so we tried to use it in some work with her, with her hand, and she just suddenly started moving. And we were like, oh, it brought tears to our eyes, because it worked, because it connected with a part of her brain. Was like, I really want to be able to use this, and I know how to use this from the past. And that was like one of the high points of my career, because it all makes sense. But anyway, so there's a little window into my heart, my job, and, you know, but it's taken quite a while to really understand it myself, let alone explain it to other people. So that was that. And I just want to challenge us really to keep taking opportunities to go deeper with God, to experience Him on, you know, deeper levels, put what we've learned into practice, even when it is quite hard and challenging. But also to get to know each other on deeper levels, you know. Would you have known that about me? No. So there's always more to find out, isn't there? What is actually valuable to different people, and what has been their life journey as well. So I think I'm not going to make it really long. So let's just put it into practice and get to know Him better and each other. I'm going to leave it there. Is that okay? If anyone would like any prayer, you know, if you're just wanting to go deeper with God, please let me know, or let one of us know, or pray with somebody. Amen.